Won't it be wonderful there? Amen. There'll be no tears in heaven. Yes, sir. Just live in peace. You're right. How compared to how many tears we shed down here. And although we as men don't like to admit, men do shed tears.
Look out, preacher. Look out, preacher.
Some things just bring tears to our eyes. But there'll be no more tears in heaven. Thank God for no more tears. Good morning to everyone. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Just look at your neighbor for a moment and just say, God is good. If you don't have a neighbor, just say it anyway. God is good.
I need a neighbor.
This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from Psalm 61, verses 1 through 4, and then Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18. When we think of soldiers, my subject this morning is the soldier's place of resource. When we think of soldiers, we think of wars and security. We think of someone who protects our lives. And a soldier must have a place for his resources. If he runs out of bullets, he needs a place to go to reload and to get more bullets. If he runs out of courage, he needs a chaplain or an officiant to give him more courage, to encourage him to have more courage. So is the soldiers of the cross. We need a place of resource, and we have a place of resource. So our subject this morning is the soldier's place of resource. Let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O gracious Father in heaven, you have blessed us once again, O Lord, and we thank you so very much. We are so blessed to have you in our lives, O Lord, for without you we are nothing. Father, you made the tiniest grain of sand, and then you made the biggest world that we can live in. You gave it all to us. We are so grateful. Father, we come this morning in prayer because we know to go to you when out for our every need. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for the lives that are spared this morning that they may come out and share with us. Now, Father, it is good to be in the household of the Lord. And we thank you. Father, we pray and thank you for our leaders in this congregation, as well as their families. We thank you for the brethren who have taken part in this services and their families thus far. We thank you for each and every member, and we pray for those who are not with us because of illness or whatever the case may be, O Lord. We just pray that they have enough power and faith to come back at the next appointed time. We thank you for those who may be on their way. We pray for them, O Lord, that they may find safety in their passage to get here. We thank you, O Lord, for those who are standing on the battlefield this morning. We pray, O Heavenly Father, for all those who are lifting up the bloodstained banner of Jesus Christ. We thank you for the churches of Christ all over the world, but especially those who hold up that banner. Father, we thank you for Jesus Christ, who one day, a long time ago, went to yonder's hill, mounted yonder's cross, and hung, bled, and died on our behalf. Yes, we just thank you, O Lord. We thank you for last night's sleeping. We thank you for this morning's awakening. And we thank you for food, shelter, and clothing that we may be able to be here this morning. We thank you for so much in everything, O Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, as we go on into our services, we pray that all things would be found decent and in order and acceptable in thy sight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask it all. Amen. When we think of certain words, we can better picture an object, a place, or a thing. There are two such words I would like for us to consider today. The first is resource, a place where one can obtain what he or she may need to continue on in their battle or in their fight. Overwhelm means to be completely overcome. During our journey in life, we may become overwhelmed. And in our world today, people seek the world's resources to help them get through whatever they may be going through. Unfortunately, sometimes they seek their resources in all the wrong places. My suggestion for us is to turn to God for our resource, for he never fails us, he never has, and he never will, and he's a never-ending source of resource. God is our resource in our time of need. We know today there are many needs that people have. There are spiritual needs, there are emotional needs, and there are material needs. And God has made many promises to us that he would supply our needs. But in Philippians 4 and verse number 19, he said, Paul wrote, "But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches and glory by Jesus Christ." Let us examine for a moment what that text is saying. He says, not somebody else's God, but he emphasized my God. What will he do, Paul? He shall supply, not by someone else, but by Christ Jesus. Not some of our needs, but all of our needs. Be thankful this day for what God has given us. We may not have all we want, but we certainly have what we need. It's about all about grace this morning. Any soldier understands that each and every battle may be his last one. But through God's grace, we as soldiers of the cross can go on to fight the next battle. As soldiers of the cross, we don't need to worry where our needs are coming from. For in Psalms 33 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy." As soldiers in God's army, we no need to beg for food. For in Psalms 37 and 25, the Bible says, "I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Thank God for everything we need in terms of food, God will provide. Thank God if we just stay in the battle with the Lord, our resources will be filled. We often sing out the words of a familiar song in some congregation. It says, "I'm a hard fighting soldier, and I'm on the battlefield that we might continue to fight hard." We must be thoroughly trained and equipped to battle against the world. Therefore, we need a place to get our proper resources, and that place is God. God has the power to get us through whatever this battle in this life calls for. God allows some of us to live from our young days through and into our golden years. We are still here, and it's worth an amen and a thank you, Lord. So if you have lived from old to young, say thank you, Lord. If you have lived from young to old, just say thank you, Lord. God can supply jobs where there are no jobs. He can supply food where there is no food. He sent bread from heaven to the Israelites. He sent quails for meat to the Israelites. He gave water from a rock to the Israelites. He can also supply us. God's resources are always full. His supply is never ending and will never run out. Thank God, for God is God, and to be a soldier is a blessed thing. His fountain shall never stop flowing. Look at, if you will, in Psalm 61 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer." Now, that's a familiar theme in both texts that were read today, that prayer is a familiar thing in the life of, should be a familiar thing in the life of a Christian. But look what he says. He says, from the end of earth, of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covenant of thy wings. Oh, God is good to us today, church. You ought to be thankful, for God is in your life. God is our resource in a time of disappointment. Oh, you know what disappointment is. If you've never been disappointed, just live on and just keep on living. You will be disappointed. Life has its way of causing us to have disappointments. Someone or something will cause us disappointments in life. When they come, and oh yes, when they come, not if they'll come, but when they show up, do what the psalmist did in chapter 64, in verse number 1. In 64, in verse number 1, look what the text says. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. See, David was in a battle, and we are in a battle. We've got to live righteously for the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that you are always going to be in righteousness, but you ought to try to live in righteousness. Feeling the possibility of the end of one's life can cause great disappointment. So David knew he had to petition God. In Ephesians 6:18, it tells us to keep on praying. It says, praying always with all prayers and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for the saints. Stay in prayer mode. That's what a Christian is supposed to do. You know, when a Christian is a hard-fighting soldier, life sometimes gets in his way. But God has a way to get us around, through, or over whatever may come up in our lives. The text tells us to pray for all saints. Pray all the time, and for other saints as well as yourself. Pray for those who won't hurt you, who want to hurt you. Watch Paul as he was disappointed in 1 and 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. Watch this. I told you disappointments will come. In 2 Timothy 4, 16 and 17. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that if it may not be laid to their charge, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. See, sometimes your closest friends will disappoint you. Sometimes it's people that you just barely know, but sometimes it's those who you become real close with. And they shall go to the place where you don't want them to go. Now, when I think about it, when people disappoint us, we've got to learn to still pray for them just the same. Sometimes people will disappoint us for no reason at all, or at least we cannot see any logical sense out of it. Those who we trust the most sometimes can be the one who hurts us and disappoint us the most. In Psalms chapter 41, verse number 9, yea, my own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. It can be a person you sit and eat with and see each and every day, but you can be disappointed by them. We must trust in God for our resources and not men, for they may let us down when we need lifting up. This verse lets us know that even our best friends may let us down. They may take actions against us, causing us disappointments in life. But God can lift us up out of the miry clay and put our feet on the solid rock. How many times have you read or heard a news story and a young person has been harmed or hurt or even killed, and it's usually one of his best friends? It happens. So we've got to learn to go to God for all of our resources. God is our resource in times of grief. Life will and can cause us much grief. We grieve when something happens to our loved ones, especially when our children are involved. When the wrong crowd has attracted our children, we often tend to be in grief. Perhaps we grieve because life has caused our children to turn against us as their parents. We grieve when our children are out and about and it causes us to lie awake at night waiting for them, waiting to hear the door open and they come in. We grieve when death claims a loved one. For many times we feel that their deaths have come way too soon. The psalmist wrote again in Psalms 31 and 10. He put it this way. He said, "For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing." God is the only resource we have for times like these. Moses recognized the fact back in Deuteronomy 33 and verse number 27. When he spake these words, he said, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee and shall say, destroy them." God is there to help us during the grieving times in our life. And if you haven't grieved, just keep holding on. You're going to grieve just like you're going to be disappointed. Grieving comes to all of us at some time or another. One of the things that causes many folk grief is the fact that when they get old, they are forgotten by some portions of society. I spoke with a sister just coming in the door this morning about getting old. You know, it's a trip to get old. Everything changes. You can't do what you used to do. You can't act like you used to act. Oh, of course, some folk try to still act young when they're old. But getting old wears on you. It causes you your strength to be less than what it used to be. It causes us to not be able to see as far as we used to see. And it causes us, especially I don't like this one, we're told not to eat like we used to eat. You know what I'm talking about. And it takes you longer to figure something out when you get old. But God is still our resource. And God said in Isaiah 46 and 4, "I will be your God through your lifetime. Even when your hair is white with age, I made you and I will care for you. I will carry you along and be your Savior." God doesn't discriminate against old folk like the world sometimes does. God is our place of resource. He will not forget us as we age, and we will still be our God. You know something? I know that a lot of folk, I heard a number, I believe the number was something like 180 million folk or something like that, are going to be tuned in to the Super Bowl today. Now, I wish I could get a few of them up in here. But I can't get them to come here because we don't play football in church. But I tell you something about coming to church. You can learn to save your life in church. You can learn how to get directions to heaven in church from the word of God being spoken unto you. But I know that folk are going to eat today. They're going to make merry because of the Super Bowl. Somebody said, "Well, this is the greatest sporting event of all time." You got a person who as I understand it, and I'm not a football fan, you got one quarterback who's 39 years of age, and another one who's 26 or 27 years of age. And you're going to pit, you may as well say he's old, you're going to pit the old against the young. But see, God has already set it up for us. He's not going to discriminate against our age. So you ought to serve the Lord that you know that won't end until your life ends, and then it will still be God who will take care of you. Even all the way to death will God take care of us. Psalms number 116, verse number 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Oh, it's good to know God. It's good to know God in the pardoning of our sins. And when you look at Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. You ought to pray for every saint you know. And you know what I like to say, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And even if you stop praying for me, I'll still be praying for you just the same. Now I tell you something, prayer is a good thing. Prayer is a wonderful thing. Just before Jesus went to the cross, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed that that cup, or this cup, as he put it, might pass, but not my will, but your will, Lord. And when we pray, we ought to ask God for something. Whatever we're asking him for, we got to let him know. I'm not telling you, Lord. I'm simply asking you if it be your will. Folk like to make plans to do things, but sometimes they forget to say, if it be your will, O Lord. Soldiers of the cross, we must continue on in the battle, for we have the greatest resource there is. It can be found in heaven, the home of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. No tears, Brother Miles said. No tears in heaven. All will be joy. Won't it be wonderful there? I know that I serve a good God, and I believe that you serve the same God that I serve. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't be here this morning. And if you continue to serve the same God, you ought to be willing to go to that same God to ask whatever resources you need. And some folk think that a resource means I can ask him for everything that I want. You can, but don't mean you'll get an answer for what you want. For some of us want things that are not good for us. You want to win when you go to the riverboat. God doesn't put money in your hand because you pull a slot machine. You want to win on this gambling that they do now. You want to win when the horses are running. You want to win when everything is just right and in your favor. But God doesn't let you win because of your gambling habits. But God is the best source of resource that we can ever have. When the doors of this church opened this morning, there should have been a line out there. A line to get in. Not because we're handing out food, but there should have been a line to get in to hear the word of God. I heard somebody say just recently, so many of us are finding problems in life, and that's because so many of us are going on Facebook. And somebody said, instead of keeping your face on Facebook, you ought to get your face in the book. I think that that makes a lot of sense. Because God is our greatest source of resources. When you go back and look at the text again, in Psalm 61, look what the Bible says. Hear my cry, O God. attend unto my prayer. You can't get anything from Facebook. You can't get from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. The rock is higher than we are. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower. Go ahead, Brother Miles. From the enemy. I will abide forever in my tabernacle. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. God is good, church. Don't you know that God is the best there ever was and best there ever will be? There is no other God like the God that we serve. And when I think about how good and how great God is, I think sometimes of my own life. For I realize I'm not here because I'm good looking. I'm not here because I'm tall, dark, and handsome. I'm far from it. I'm here because the Lord has left me here. And I need to do a little good while I'm here. I need to serve God while I'm here. I need to stand on that rock that's higher than I while I'm here. I need to serve and be with Him while I'm here. You need to do the same thing. I wouldn't have had a morsel of bread this morning if it wasn't for the Lord. I wouldn't have had a roof over my head on last night if it wasn't for the Lord. I wouldn't have been able to get up this morning if it wasn't for the Lord. Thank God, for God is God. Do you need an excuse to know your God? I think the best excuse you can ever have to know your God is the fact that you are sitting here. Because you didn't have to be here. How many of us have known, you know, I notice that these days when I go to funerals, most of the time, the funerals have fewer and fewer people. That's because everybody in that person's age group has already gone on before them. And so all I'm saying to you is that we need to get right with the Lord. We need to live right for the Lord. Now, how do you do that? Well, you come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. Brother Jackson will do it right now, this day. Not right at this very moment, but in a few moments he'll do it if you're ready. And if you've already been baptized, like many of us, like most of us, sometimes you walk astray and you need to come back home. Sometimes the road is long and the road gets tough when you're out there all by yourself. You need the Lord to walk with you and be with you. You need to walk with Him and He'll walk by your side. You need to be a part of something that's good for our resources. You need the Lord. If you need to come back to the Lord, you ask the Lord to forgive you, then you come forward, ask the church to pray for you that you may grow stronger. You know, that's an easy thing. That's real easy. Just asking of the Lord. You know how good that, you know how many times we have to ask people to do things for us sometimes? And some of us don't want to ask the Lord just one time to get us together and get us straight. But you know, you can go to God as often as you need to. As often as you need to come to the Lord, you can come. So I'm pleading with you this morning, if you need to, don't be ashamed to walk down the aisle. If I sit in the back and I watch you walk down the aisle, don't let me make you ashamed, because you've got to live for your soul and I've got to live for mine. My soul is the most important thing that I have, because that's what's going to determine my fate eventually. The way I live, my soul is going to go back to the Lord, and I'll go to wherever the Lord sends me. So, but if I live right, I can hope to be in heaven one day. And I hope to see you all there, and we'll have a joyous old time. If this is your desire, as we together stand and sing the song of invitation. Number 4.